character for Dragon first, but it was far too complicated. She started instead with Kai, which had only 4 strokes. Her own name was harder, consisting of 10 and 1 strokes, but she wanted to be able to write it. The princess had brought ink, brushes, and a length of undyed silk for Ping to practice her characters on. "That seems like a terrible waste of silk," Ping said, imagining the length of cloth she would use up before she got the characters right. "We have plenty of silk," the princess replied. "But if you would rather, you can use calfskin." "The ink will wash off, so you can use the calfskin over and over again." Ping picked up the brush and dipped it in the ink. Her hand trembled as she tried to copy the 4 strokes that the princess had made on the calfskin. The princess's characters were light and flowing, just like her movements. Ping's were fat and splodgy. "Perhaps you'd write better if you used your right hand," the princess said. "No," replied Ping, "my writing would be much worse." She tried again. "It will take a lot of practice until I get them right," she said. "I can't bear the thought of wasting all that ink. Can't I write the characters in the dirt with a stick first, until I get the stroke order and length right? Then I can use ink." They went out into the garden and found a garden bed that had been dug over and would remain unplanted till spring. Ping found a straight stick and drew the 2 characters in the dirt. She preferred this method, which enabled her to quickly erase her ugly attempts at copying the princess's beautiful characters. Princess Yangxin tried to encourage her. "You will need to recognize at least 2,000 characters to be able to read a book," she said airily, as if it was no more difficult than learning how to milk a goat or sweep out an ox stall. "If you learn 2 characters each day, you will soon be there." Ping wasn't much good with characters, but she had become quite skilled with numbers. She made a calculation in her head. At the rate of 2 characters a day, it would be nearly 2 years before she could read a book. She'd only just got used to the fact that she had a future at all, now that Yu Che had decided not to execute her. She hadn't really given much thought to the years ahead, but it seemed that the princess, at least, was expecting her to stay at the Garden of the Purple Dragon. "But you'll be returning to Yan soon, won't you?" Ping asked. The princess's smile disappeared. "No," she replied quietly. "I will not be returning to Yan." Chapter 14. The Rat and the Princess. Kai no longer complained that he was hungry. He seemed to get bigger every day. In fact, he was getting quite podgy. Every evening, he and Ping ate with the Emperor, the Princess, and the ministers, in the Hall of Cool Fragrance. The meals were long and lavish, consisting of 6 courses. Kai wasn't the only one who was getting fatter. Ping looked from her bowl, piled with pickled pork and jackal broth, baked crane stuffed with lentils and bitter herbs, to the Emperor's bowl, which contained 1 egg and some seeds. "Aren't you hungry, Yu Che?" Ping asked. Unlike Ping and Kai, the Emperor was looking thinner. "The Longevity Council has devised a special diet for me. They say it will help prolong my life." He picked up a sunflower seed with his chopsticks and ate it as if it was a tasty delicacy. "I am to eat small meals consisting of crane's eggs, leeks, sunflower seeds, and peaches. Instead of wine, I must drink potions which contain ground pearls and gold dust." Ping remembered the huge meals Yu Che had eaten on her first visit to Mingyang Lodge, Then he had thought a 5-course banquet was a light meal. Each day, Ping went to the rustling bamboo pavilion, and Princess Yang Xin patiently taught her 2 new characters. The lessons didn't take long. Afterwards, Ping walked in the garden of the Purple Dragon, looking at the flowers and the autumn leaves, just for their beauty, not because they might contain caterpillars. If she saw dragonflies flit on the surface of pools, she taught herself to enjoy the scene and not jump up to catch them. It seemed strange not to have to tend to Kai's needs, but whenever she saw him frolicking around the garden, she couldn't deny that he was happier and healthier than he had ever been. Now that others were caring for his daily needs, she could concentrate on learning to read, so that she could study the books and become as knowledgeable as the dragon keepers of old. It would take a long time. She imagined what the garden would look like at other times of the year and looked forward to being there in spring. Ping didn't have to worry about Kai now that he had the Emperor's protection. Kai was soon as familiar with Ming Yang Lodge and the Garden of the Purple Dragon as if he had lived there all his life. He chased pheasants, swam in the ornamental pools, and hid from the unfortunate saggy pants. He knew that it was the dragon attendant's job to take care of him, but Kai chose to make his life as difficult as possible. Ping finally had the security and companionship that she had been wishing for. She was Liu Qi's friend again. Hua came to visit her most nights, but she still wasn't at peace. She couldn't understand why, deep down, she felt uneasy. Something was troubling her, like an itch or a splinter in her foot. She didn't know what it was until one afternoon when she was sitting in a quiet chamber talking to Dongfang Suo, or at least the Imperial Magician was questioning her. "But if you have this second sight concerning dragons," the Imperial Magician asked, "why didn't you know that the dragon stone was an egg?" It was a cold, drizzly afternoon, and they were sitting in Late Spring Villa on the western slope of Mingyang Hill. Latticed windows in the shape of 4-petaled flowers looked out on 3 sides. The windows were open, despite the chilly weather. Dongfang Suo had been quizzing Ping about her dragon-keeping skills. She was listening to the soft call of doves sheltering under the eaves, and only half her attention was on the Imperial Magician's questions. "I didn't say I was a good dragon-keeper," Ping replied. "I still know very little about dragon-rearing. Dancer kept the knowledge from me." She felt a familiar ripple of frustration with the old dragon. "He didn't think I was ready for it." Dongfang Suo nodded wisely and stifled a yawn. Ping watched the raindrops drip from the corner of the roof. A thought came to her that she hadn't considered since she had been living on Taishan. "Dongfang Suo, there's something I'd like to speak to you about," Ping said. The Imperial Magician stopped nodding and raised one caterpillar eyebrow. "Even if I live to be extremely old, I will die while Kai is still a very young dragon," Ping said. "If he's to be properly cared for, he'll need other dragon keepers after I die." Ping glanced over to where Kai had discovered his own image in a bronze mirror. "I imagine you have a long life to look forward to," Dongfang Suo replied. "We won't need to think about other dragon keepers for many years." Kai was standing stock still, gaping at the other dragon who had appeared in front of him. "Yes, but unexpected things can happen. What if I become ill? What if the necromancer still wants me dead?" The mention of the necromancer seemed to jolt the Imperial Magician awake. Kai was startled when the other dragon sat down and scratched its ear at exactly the same moment that he did. He hid behind a painted screen. "You are under the protection of the Emperor now, Ping," Dongfang Swore continued. "No one will harm you. Should you become ill, you will have the best physicians in the Empire taking care of you." The little dragon timidly crept up to the mirror again. "I know we will be well cared for here," Ping said, "but if the Longevity Council can enable the Emperor to live for thousands of years as he wishes," Dongfang Swore interrupted, "his Imperial Majesty will be the dragon's companion all his life." Ping had thought that Liu Che's pursuit of long life was just a whim, but it was becoming an obsession. He had changed a lot in the half year since she had seen him last. She wondered how different he would be in 1,000 years. Kai made a loud squawk to scare off the strange creature that was staring at him. Seeing the other dragon open its mouth wide alarmed him. He ran and buried his head under a cushion. "He will still need a keeper," Ping said. The Imperial magician yawned again. His afternoon nap was overdue. "No one knows the importance of the dragon more than the Emperor. I know the Emperor will care for Kai no matter what happens, but I'm the only one who can hear his voice. I'm the one who can understand what he says. Without me, he is no more than a dumb animal. A pet." Kai crouched down and then sprang at the mirror, banging his head on it. He yelped. The dragon attendant had been hovering around outside. He rushed in and fussed over him anxiously. "He's just small and silly at the moment," Ping continued, "but as he grows, he will become wise, like Dancer. The Emperor might want to seek his advice. Without a dragon keeper, he will have no way to communicate with Kai." "The Emperor looks forward to a long association with Kai, drawing on the dragon's knowledge and blessing." Kai's injured sounds stopped as soon as Saggy Pants offered him treats of crushed snails and chicken's feet. Dongfang Swore nodded as he thought about what Ping had said. He kept nodding. Ping waited for him to say something, but he didn't. His head came to rest on his chest. He had fallen asleep. Ping left the Imperial Magician and went out into the garden. She looked out over the view. She could see the tiger forest, farmers' fields, a bend of the Yellow River. From that distance, the walls surrounding the Garden of the Purple Dragon seemed small enough to jump over. "It would be nice to go beyond the walls," said a voice behind her. Ping turned round. It was the princess. "But we are both confined by them." Ping looked back at the world beyond the walls. She had been enjoying life at Ming Yang Lodge so much, it hadn't occurred to her that she couldn't leave if she wanted to. But Princess Yang Xin was right. It seemed the princess couldn't leave either. Ping looked back. But the princess was gone. Early one morning, Ping was staring up at the touching heaven tower. The golden immortal stood as patient as ever, catching the stardew that made people live long. She'd been lying awake since well before dawn, thinking about what would happen to Kai after she died. It wouldn't be just a matter of finding a single dragon keeper to take her place. Even if she did find someone suitable, they would eventually die, and another would have to be found. And another. Kai could live for 2,000 years or more. Many good dragon keepers would have to be found. And she wouldn't be there to oversee their appointment. A thought had occurred to her in the dark hours of night. What if she could get some of the stardew to drink? Then she wouldn't have to worry about finding other dragon keepers. she could live as long as a dragon. Ping's thoughts were disturbed by the sound of someone approaching. A shaman was walking up the hill towards the tower. She wanted to see how he climbed up the soaring tower to reach the star dew. She hid behind a tree and watched as he unlocked a door at the base of the tower. Touching Heaven Tower looked like it was solid stone from the outside, but it was actually hollow. Ping crept closer so that she could see what the shaman was doing. She expected to see a ladder or stairs leading up inside the tower, but there was neither. A bamboo tube disappeared up the wall. Below the tube, there was a bronze jar. Ping smiled to herself. She had been very stupid to imagine that the shaman had to climb the tower every day and clamber up the statue on the top to empty the jade dish. The bamboo tube must lead all the way up to the top of the tower, through the middle of the statue, and up to a hole in the bottom of the dish. The dew from the stars collected in the jade dish and then trickled down the bamboo tube into the jar below. All the shaman had to do was remove the jar each morning and replace it with an empty one. She watched the shaman walk carefully back down the hill carrying the precious dew. The builders of the tower were much cleverer than she was. Ping had lingered so long in the Garden of Secluded Harmony that she was late for her daily lesson with Princess Yang Xin. She hurried to the rustling bamboo pavilion, full of apologies. The princess greeted Ping with a smile. After Ping had practiced the two new characters that the princess had demonstrated, she ventured a question she'd been thinking of for some days. "Your Imperial Majesty, may I make a request?" The princess gracefully inclined her head. "I want to be able to read as soon as possible," Ping said. "I'd like to learn more characters, perhaps 6 each day, instead of 2. Before the princess could answer, Ping continued, "I know this will mean that you have to spend more time teaching me each day, but the process won't take so long." "If you think you can learn 6 characters a day," Princess Yang Xin replied, "I am happy to teach you. I am glad to have an occupation." It started to rain. Ping thought the princess would end the lesson, but instead she sent Lady An to fetch a thick padded coat and an umbrella made of lacquered silk. The lesson continued. The rain stopped, and after the lessons were over, Ping continued to sit with the princess beneath the curve of a brilliant rainbow. "The emperor is looking thin," Ping dared to say. "I wish he was as concerned about himself as he is about you." "It's not my place to question the emperor, but I sometimes wonder if his preoccupation with achieving long life isn't..." Ping tried to think of the right word. "Unhealthy?" "Yes. My brother's responsibilities are a heavy burden for a boy of 16 years. He wants nothing more than to rule the empire well. Our father, as he grew old, became too concerned with his personal wealth and comfort. He left the running of the empire to his ministers. Some took advantage of this power. Yu Che thinks a long reign will be of great benefit to the empire." Lady An brought a tray with a teapot and cups on it. "I didn't mean to criticize His Imperial Majesty," Ping said as Lady An poured tea into the cups. The princess smiled. "I know you only have his best interests at heart, Ping. I am glad you are here. He enjoys your company." Ping blushed and waited until Lady An had left. "Did he tell you that?" The princess sipped her tea. "Even before I was married, he was being groomed to be emperor. We didn't have many opportunities to be together. When I went to Yan, he was very lonely. He wrote to me about your friendship, and I was pleased that he had found someone else he was comfortable with. It must have been hard for you to live so far away. Princess Yang Xin's beautiful smile withered like a flower in frost. I was just a child when I was married to the Duke of Yan. Not much older than you are now, Ping. But I didn't have the experience of the world that you have. I was so lonely, I thought I would die. Ping didn't know what to say. She wished she hadn't made the princess remember such unhappy times. The Duke rejected me. He sent me back. It is a disgrace for the Empire, but I don't care. She smiled. It means I can be here with my brother. When the Emperor came into the Hall of Cool Fragrance that evening, he sat down and pushed his meager meal aside. "You must not sit out in the cold and the damp, Yang Xin," he said to his sister. Ping glanced at the princess. Nothing escaped the Emperor's attention. "Ping's lessons must stop," he said. Ping's heart sank. Without her reading lessons, how would she pass the long winter days? "I don't think we need stop the lessons," the princess said. "Couldn't we hold them in my chambers until spring?" The emperor didn't look pleased with this solution, but Princess Yang Xin reached out and touched his hand. "Please?" "Very well. The lessons can continue. For now." Ping smiled her thanks at the princess, but the emperor remained out of sorts throughout the meal. After everyone had left, Ping stayed to help Saggy Pants clean up Kai's mess. "Have you served the emperor long?" she asked him.
"All my life, madam," the dragon attendant replied.
"How long has the princess been here at Ming Yang Lodge?"
"Several months."
"Did the Duke really send her back?" Ping couldn't believe that he would reject such a beautiful wife. Saggy Pants looked around to make sure that no one was listening. "The princess was very lonely when she was in Yan, so the Duke allowed her mother, the Empress, to visit her twice a year. But on one of these visits, the princess..." The dragon attendant lowered his voice even more. "She formed an attachment to the Empress's senior imperial guard. When her husband found out, he was furious. He beheaded the man immediately. Then the Duke sent the princess back. Like a bolt of inferior silk cloth. She has come to live here at Ming Yang." Servants came to clear away the dishes from the banquet, and Saggy Pants hurried away as if he regretted saying so much. The next day, Ping entered the princess's private chambers for the first time. They were on the north face of Ming Yang Hill, overlooking the serpentine Yellow River. Every wall was draped with silk paintings and embroideries. Every inch of the floor was covered with bamboo matting and woven rugs. There were large embroidered cushions scattered around the room. It was as if Yu Che thought his sister was so delicate she would be hurt if she so much as brushed her skin against a hard surface. It was also very hot. There was a bronze dish on legs piled with glowing coals in the center of the room. All the window shutters were closed tight. Lamps burning orchid-scented oil gave off a soft light. The princess was draped with a rug made of deep blue material studded with pearls. No one spoke louder than a whisper in the princess's chamber.
Ping had never experienced such comfort, but it was a little overwhelming, like a smothering embrace. "My brother thinks I am as fragile as a camellia blossom," the princess said with a smile. "His Imperial Majesty loves you," Ping said. "He's concerned for your health." The princess's smile faded. "He forgets that I lived for years in the shadow of the Great Wall, where even in summer the nights can be cold. And in winter, it is impossible to go outside for 3 months because of the snow piled against the doors." She was silent for a few moments. Then she wrote a character on a length of silk. "Cold," she said. 7 strokes. Now that they could no longer hold the lessons outdoors, Ping had to practice her characters on calfskin. Her writing had improved. She collected just the right amount of ink on her brush and balanced it lightly in her fingers. She wrote with a confident flick of her wrist. Her characters were like those drawn by a young child, but they were much improved. She wasn't as embarrassed by them as she had been at first. She had learned some of the more complicated characters, such as Blue, Chopsticks, and Right. She had also learned the character for Dragon, and had no trouble remembering it, even though it consisted of 10 and 6 strokes. She had copied all the characters she had learned onto another piece of calfskin. Next to each character, she drew a small picture to help her remember its meaning. She planned to carry the calfskin with her so that she could revise her characters whenever she wanted to. The princess invited Ping to stay for tea after her lesson. "I would like to try to read a book," Ping said to the princess as they sipped tea and ate honey cakes. 38 characters are not nearly enough to read a book, Ping," the princess replied softly. "I'd like to try." "You will be disappointed." Princess Yang Xin sent Lady An to the library for a book. When she returned, the princess undid the ties and spread it on a small table. Ping was hoping it would be one of the books about dragon keeping. She looked at the characters in the first column. There was only one that she could read. It was the same with the other columns. There were no more than 2 characters in any column that Ping understood. The princess read out the section. It was about the meaning of numbers. It had nothing to do with dragons. 1 is for the universe, whole and indivisible. 2 is for the forces known as yin and yang. Equal and opposite, they hold the universe together. 3 is for the 3 sage emperors of old, who ruled with perfect virtue and wisdom. 5 is for the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, metal, and wood. All the 10,000s of things under heaven are made of these elements. Earth overcomes water. Water overcomes fire. Fire overcomes metal. Metal overcomes wood. Wood overcomes earth. In this way, the universe is ever-changing. It was one thing to be able to read individual words. It was quite another thing to understand what they meant when they were strung together in sentences. Ping was struggling to understand the meaning of this passage when Hua appeared from among the folds of a floor rug. He scurried across the room. Ping smiled, wondering why he had come to see her now. But he wasn't hurrying to her. Ping realized he was making his way towards the princess, holding a bamboo strip in his mouth. He sat at the princess's feet and laid the strip on her satin slippers. The cushioned silence of the princess's chamber was suddenly broken by the sound of screaming. All the servants were pointing at Hua and squealing with terror. Princess Yang Xin jumped to her feet and leapt onto a table. Ting would never have guessed that the princess could move so fast. One of the servants ran for a broom and tried to hit Hua with it. "Stop!" shouted Ping. "Leave him alone!" She crawled over the cushions and picked up the rat. She felt the broom thwack on her back. A vase was knocked over. The teapot was overturned as people ran back and forth. "Your Imperial Majesty," Ping said, "Hua won't hurt anyone. He's a very well-behaved rat." The princess was staring at Hua with a look of disgust. "Rats are filthy creatures," one of the servants shouted. It was the first time Ping had heard any of them speak above a whisper. "No, he's clean, very clean. He doesn't have to rummage in rubbish for his food." Lady An was the only one who remained composed. She tried to calm the hysterical servants. Hua wriggled out of Ping's arms, causing a new wave of panic, and scurried out of the room. The princess was still crouched on the table with her serving women gathered around her. Lady An coaxed Princess Yang Xin down and led her trembling into her bedchamber. Ping followed them to the doorway. "Hua didn't mean to upset you," she explained. "He would never hurt anyone." Lady An came back to the doorway. "The princess has a particular fear of rats."
"Why?"
Lady An pulled the curtain across the doorway without answering. The emperor was not in a talkative mood at the evening banquet. The princess's place to his left was empty. Ping sat next to Kai, who had a special place on a cushion to the right of the emperor. This made conversation with Liu Che difficult, as Kai was continually bobbing about between them and making comments that no one but Ping could understand. The dragon cook brought Kai a variety of roast and stewed birds.
"Birdies," said Kai with delight.
He ate them all and then started on the selection of insects, and then 6 pheasant eggs. Kai's manners were terrible. He didn't pick up his food delicately in his talons, as Dancer had, but wolfed everything down like a hungry dog. He put his foot in Ping's bowl of partridge stew. He spat out anything he didn't like the taste of. Ping scolded him over his bad manners, but the dragon attendant patiently mopped up the spilt food, picked up discarded bones, and wiped his paws. Kai took no notice of Ping. Finally, Kai had had enough to eat, and he got up for some after-dinner amusement. This usually took the form of annoying the ministers and servants. One of his favorite games was to climb up on tables and plant stands and dive off onto a pile of cushions. Now that there wasn't a noisy dragon between them, Ping asked Yu Che about the absent princess. "She is very distressed," the emperor replied. "I will not tolerate the princess being upset. My guards have captured your rat. It must be kept locked up." Ping had little appetite for the bear paw soup that had been served. Liu Che nibbled on a slice of peach.
"Why does Princess Yang Xin hate rats so much?" Ping asked.
"That is none of your business," the emperor snapped.
They both pushed uneaten food around their bowl. "I'm sorry, Your Imperial Majesty," Ping said, looking at her hands in her lap. The emperor's stern mood softened. "My sister has had an unhappy life. I suppose you have already heard the gossip," he said. "How she fell in love with a captain of the guards?"
Ping nodded. "The Duke of Yan had him killed."
"That wasn't the end of it," Yu Che explained. "As an added punishment, His body was strung up on the city wall. The Duke forced her to watch every day as rats gradually consumed the body. Ping's appetite disappeared completely. I didn't know.
I would much rather have had Hua put to death. However, the Longevity Council may wish to study him more. But if he escapes again, I will order the servants to lay poison.
Ping nodded quietly. As you wish, Your Imperial Majesty.
Ping knew Hua was too clever to eat poison, but she wished he hadn't upset the princess so. A distressed cry from across the room broke the silence. Ping knew immediately who would be responsible. Kai was up to some sort of mischief. She went across the room to investigate. The dragon attendant and several servants were gathered around a painted pottery vase that was almost as tall as Ping. Its curved sides bulged in the middle and then tapered at the neck. It was an elegant ornament, decorated with patterns of clouds and strange animals. She could hear a muffled but familiar squawking. It was coming from inside the vase. Kai had tried to leap from a windowsill over the vase. He had dived into the vase instead. The servants were all talking at once, telling her that the vase was 100 years old and had been painted by a famous artist using gold paint and the blood of a previous emperor. It was worth many thousands of jin.
"Stuck!" moaned Kai.
"Yes, I know you're stuck," said Ping impatiently. "You're a silly dragon." Ping ordered the servants to lay the vase gently on its side.
"Xiaojun, reach inside and pull the dragon out."
The dragon attendant did as he was told. Kai screeched in pain as if his talons were being pulled out.
"Ow!" he wailed. "Saggy pants hurt Kai's nose."
The dragon attendant pulled as hard as he could, but though Kai's head emerged from the vase, his shoulders just became wedged.
"You got in there," Ping said. "You must be able to get out."
She sent the dragon attendant to the kitchens for oil. "Turn around, Kai," Ping demanded. "We might be able to pull you out backwards."
"No pull tail,"
said an unhappy voice inside the vase. Everyone else heard only a shrill piping, like someone blowing the highest note on a tin whistle.
"Well, stay there then," said Ping crossly.
After a moment's silence, Ping heard the dragon wriggle around inside the vase, moaning miserably. The dragon attendant returned from the kitchens with a jar of oil.
"Pour it in the vase," Ping said. "It will make him slippery."
"Stop, saggy pants," said Kai,
as the dragon attendant poured in the oil. Ping grabbed hold of Kai's tail and pulled as hard as she could, but the dragon remained stuck. The servants suddenly dropped to the floor. The emperor had come over to see what the fuss was.
"Break the vase," he said.
"But, Your Imperial Majesty," Ping began. Yu Che held up his hand to stop her.
"Do as I say," he commanded.
One of the guards fetched an axe and hit the vase as hard as he could. It shattered to pieces, revealing an oily dragon with a shard of pottery balanced on his head. "Broken," said Kai. The following day, when Ping went to the princess's chamber for her reading lesson, the serving women wouldn't let her enter.
"The princess is unwell," they said.
She pleaded with Dong Fang Suo to convince the emperor to let her continue her lessons. He was successful. Imperial ministers took over the job of teaching Ping to read and write. Without the princess,
It was not such an enjoyable experience. She'd been very patient, going over each character again and again, explaining the meaning of the components of each character, and making up stories to help her remember them. But Ping and the princess had talked about other things besides characters and books. Princess Yang Xin spoke of her childhood and the bond she'd had with her brother ever since he was born. Ping had enjoyed hearing about the young Liu Che and his devotion to his sister. As they drank tea, Lady An had taught her how to tie up her hair in a neat knot. The lessons had lasted for entire afternoons. Now a minister came each morning and wrote Ping's new characters on her calfskin. It was a different minister each day. He told her what each character meant. Ping recited the characters back to him, and then he went away. Ping practiced the characters by herself, in the garden if it wasn't raining, or in her chamber if the weather was bad. In the afternoon, the minister returned to test her. If her characters weren't well formed, he made her write them again and again, until she got them right. Now that she understood the different components of the characters, it didn't take Ping long each day to learn six characters. Even when she persuaded the ministers to increase the daily number of new characters to 10 and 2, and she practiced every character she knew, it still only took a few hours. She supervised Kai as he swam in the ponds. She tried to teach him not to trample the flowers. His attendants took care of most of his needs. Though the emperor was always too busy with the longevity council to spend time with Ping, he still found time to be with Kai. Ping missed the princess's company. She walked every path in the garden until she knew each tree and rock. She watched ducks, in their arrowhead formation, fly away to warmer lands for the winter. She felt as lonely as she had at Huangling. Ping went to visit Hua. She had managed to ensure that his cage only had a latch so that Hua could use his dexterous claws to free himself every night. Ping felt bad that he had to spend so much time confined. He would have been better off if he'd stayed on the Isle of the Blessed. "It's not fair, Hua," she told the rat. "Kai can get away with all sorts of bad behavior and no one minds. Just breathing is enough to get you into trouble." Ping didn't like going back to the cages. She didn't want to be reminded of the time she'd been imprisoned. The monkeys and the black cat were no longer there. They had been freed to roam the tiger forest. She hoped that one day she would get a chance to wander in the wild forest. Chapter 15. Heaven's Anger. Ping couldn't sleep. Hailstones were battering the roofs. It sounded like the immortals were pelting the lodge with rocks. An angry wind rattled shutters and lifted tiles off the roof above her chamber. Kai was curled up next to her. His bed consisted of a large feather mattress on a brick platform that was heated from beneath by hot coals. Most nights it was empty, while Ping and Kai were squashed together on Ping's straw mattress. She had suggested that she might sleep in the big bed, where there would be more room, but Saggy Pants wouldn't hear of it. The bed was for the Imperial Dragon only. Ping would have brought the matter up with the Emperor, but he was so busy she didn't want to bother him with such a trivial matter. The sound of the wind whispering and whistling through the rafters frightened the little dragon. He had wriggled and whimpered for more than an hour. Ping had told him stories until he was finally asleep, curled up in a knot, taking up 3/4 of the bed and snoring softly. A flash of light lit up the room briefly. It was followed half a minute later by a deep rumble. Then the night was as black as a crow's wing again. She could hear a rustling sound. It was Hua rearranging some of the bedding straw to suit his own ratty purposes. Storms had never kept Ping awake before. She was thinking about the books on dragons and their keepers.
Those books are only to be read by members of the Longevity Council, Dong Fang Swore had said when Ping had asked if she could look at them. Even though she still didn't know enough characters to be able to read them, his stubbornness annoyed her. If there were books on dragons and their care, why shouldn't the Imperial Dragon Keeper read them? Ping lay on her side and then on her back, but she couldn't get comfortable. She got up and rearranged the blanket, which was all on Kai's side of the bed. She tried lying with her head at the bottom of the bed and her feet near Kai's nose. She had been in bed for hours, but still felt no closer to sleep. Her stomach rumbled. She hadn't felt hungry at the evening meal and had left her favorite dish, green goose with ginger sauce, untouched.
"I'm hungry now, though," she whispered to Hua. "Let's see if we can find something to eat in the kitchens." It was so dark, Ping had to feel her way to the door. She checked that Kai was still snoring, and then went out into the corridor. Small wicker baskets containing oil lamps were placed on the floor at intervals. It was at least 2 hours past midnight. Many of the lamps had burned up their supply of oil or had been blown out by gusts of wind. Only a few were still alight. The corridors and halls were eerily empty. Through the shutters, she glimpsed one or two guards standing miserably under eaves, with rain dripping off their caps. But no one was awake inside. Hua was enjoying this freedom. He darted around inspecting what was behind wall hangings and beneath holes in the floorboards. It reminded Ping of the times they had explored Huangling Palace together at night. The memory left her smiling, which was strange, since she had been a hungry, ill-treated slave back then. Though she had intended to go to the kitchens, that wasn't where her feet were taking her. The lodge was not a neat, symmetrical building like the palace at Huangling. It had been built to fit the contours of the hillside. It straggled crookedly across a slope, and then abruptly turned uphill. The corridors changed direction unexpectedly and suddenly turned into stairs, sometimes leading up, sometimes down. Some chambers were completely separate, joined to the main building by enclosed passageways that zigzagged up and down the hillside. Ping found herself in the walkway that led to the Hall of Peaceful Retreat, where the Longevity Council worked on their potions and elixirs. She only ever saw the strange members of the council at the evening banquet. The rest of the day, and for all she knew the night as well, they studied and experimented. She had never been to the hall. Guards had barred her way whenever she tried to approach it. During the day, the walkway gave pleasant glimpses of hidden gardens and pools full of large goldfish. Now the shutters were all closed. Only two lamps were still burning in the passageway. Ping bent down to lift one from its wicker basket, shielding the flame with her hand as it flickered in a sudden gust of wind. A shutter blew open with a bang. Her heart pounded like a hammer beating metal. Through the open window, she saw the wet garden lit up by a flash of lightning. It looked unnatural and frightening. Silvery shapes of twisted rocks loomed like ghosts. The branches of a weeping cherry tree were blown horizontal by the fierce wind. Then it was dark again. Ping felt the floor slope down beneath her feet as she continued along the passageway. The wail of the wind died for a moment, and she could hear the gentle pattering of Hua's feet on the polished floorboard.
Then she heard another sound. Heavy, flat-footed steps. It sounded as if two or three guards were blundering clumsily down the passage behind her. There was a crash. Ping spun around. The first wicker basket had been knocked over, its oil spilled out. The flame from the wick licked greedily along the trail of oil. The wicker basket started to burn.
Fire, said a voice in Ping's head.
By the light of the flames, Ping could see that the culprit wasn't a band of clumsy guards, just one small dragon. Ping rushed back and stamped out the fire.
Kai, you could have burnt down the whole lodge, Ping snapped. What are you doing here? You should be asleep.
Lonely, said Kai.
Frightened.
The dragon's green eyes blinked in the lamplight. At any other time of the day, she might have been pleased with the improvement in his speech, which for the last week had consisted of nothing but bad words he'd learned from the Imperial Guards.
Well, if you're coming with me, you have to be very, very quiet. Do you understand?
Kai nodded.
Quiet.
There was no guard outside the Hall of Peaceful Retreat. Ping pushed the door open a chink, half expecting the strange longevity council members to be still at their work, but no light leaked out. She went into the hall. Her lamp spread only a small circle of light. She could see jars and bowls, a mortar and pestle on a bench. There was an unpleasant smell, sharp and sour, like vinegar and urine mixed together. It was a familiar smell, but Ping couldn't place it. The rumble in her stomach had become an ache. Hua jumped up onto the bench and sniffed the contents of the bowls. Kai made a high-pitched noise.
Shh, Kai. Remember what I said? Quiet.
Ping held up her lamp. Bamboo books were stacked on a shelf above the bench. They were neatly rolled, tied with thin ribbon, and each had a tag hanging from it. One was spread open on a bench. Ping held the lamp close. She recognized the characters for Long and Life. She examined the tags on the other books. She found two that had the character for Dragon written on them. She opened out one of these books. There were many characters that she could understand. Heart, eye, blood. She couldn't make out the meaning of the sentences, but she had an unpleasant feeling that it was a list of uses for dragon parts. She pulled the other dragon book from the shelf. The neat stack of books collapsed with a thud.
Shh, said Kai sternly. Quiet.
Ping ran her finger down the columns of characters. The dragon character was repeated many times. She sighed with frustration. Though she knew many of the characters, she still couldn't make sense of it. A noise startled Ping. She held up her lamp. A curtained doorway led off the hall to an inner chamber. The wind had died, the hail had stopped, and there was just the patter of rain. She heard the noise again. Someone was on the other side of the curtain. The ache in Ping's stomach had turned to a sharp pain, but it wasn't hunger that had made her stomach hurt. It was the sense of dread that she felt when enemies were near. Ping pinched the lamp wick between her finger and thumb. The room was black as an ink block. She crouched in a corner, holding Kai close to her, with her hand clamped around his mouth in case he made a noise. She heard the swish of the curtain as it was pulled back and the slap of slippers across the floor. There was the smell of sweat and stale wine, the sound of fingernails scratching dry skin. Fingers fumbled with a catch. A shutter opened,
A flash of lightning hit the room for a second. In the brief silver light, Ping saw the back of a man's head as he stood at the window. Thunder cracked the silence, booming and rumbling. There was another flash. The man spat out of the window and then turned towards Ping. She gasped, but the sound was drowned by another peal of thunder. She only saw his face for a moment, but the image burned in her mind. The man had a dark mark on one side of his face and a patch over his right eye. She would have known that face anywhere. It was the necromancer. Ping covered her mouth with her hand to stop herself from crying out. The thunder died away, and the high-pitched shriek of a tin whistle took its place. She had let go of the dragon's jaws.
"Bad man!" Kai screeched.
Ping felt the necromancer turn towards her in the darkness. The feeling of dread forced her to her knees. The foreboding had been diluted before, like watery soup. It hadn't reached its full strength until the necromancer was almost breathing in her face. Lightning lit the room again. Ping tried to move, but couldn't.
"You thought you'd seen the last of me, didn't you?"
He smiled.
"I believed you'd drowned, but then I heard villagers talking about a sorceress who'd been arrested. There were rumors about a devilish rat. I knew it was you."
His hands reached out towards Kai.
"That dragon whelp is mine."
The tips of his long black fingernails scraped the little dragon's scales. Hua leapt at him. Then the room was black again. The necromancer cried out in pain. Ping's legs finally obeyed her. She was out of the door. Kai clutched to her before the necromancer had time to draw another breath. She ran up the passageway. There were no lamps, but it didn't matter. Her feet retraced her steps as surely as if the corridor was lit by 10 and 2 torches.
"Guards!" Ping yelled.
Ping burst out of the door at the end of the passageway and into the dark and wet. There were no guards at the door. As she opened her mouth to shout for help, the sky lit up as if it were daylight. A heartbeat later, there was a clap of thunder.
"Guards!" she yelled. "Quick! There's an intruder!"
No guards came. Kai was strangely silent in her arms. He was terrified. Ping stood in the pouring rain, wondering what she should do. She had to get Kai to safety, but the lodge no longer seemed secure. Kai suddenly came to life. He thrust out with his strong paws. Ping couldn't hold him. He jumped down and ran off into the darkness. The lightning was now so frequent that the garden was more often lit than in darkness. The thunder was a constant rumble. The hall of peaceful retreat loomed black behind her, crouched on the hillside like an animal ready to attack. The garden seemed safer. This time, her second sight didn't fail her. Even though she couldn't see him, Ping knew that Kai was running up the hill towards the Garden of Secluded Harmony. She ran after him. Ping could hear the sound of the bells on the touching heaven tower, jangling frantically in the strong wind. Kai finally came to a halt at the foot of the tower. A bolt of brilliant light zigzagged across the sky and hit the finger of one of the gold statue's upstretched hands with a shower of sparks. At the exact same time, there was a deafening crack, as if heaven itself had been split in half. The upper part of the tower burst into flames. The statue of the immortal glowed in the light of the fire and then tilted to one side. It fell, end over end. Ping was halfway across the bridge that led to the tower. She felt it shake beneath her as the statue hit the bridge. Then one of the cornerstones splashed into the surrounding lake.
"Kai," she called out, her heart gripped with fear, "where are you?"
Lightning pulsed across the sky again and again. The thunder was a continual roar. Rain poured from the sky like a waterfall. Stone block fell